This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter number 3. I've been looking at the names of God over the last several weeks. This morning I'm looking at the name of God that we call Yahweh or the Great I Am. Looking at the book of Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 13. The scripture says in Exodus 3 and 13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, what do you notice in verse number 14 about the phrase, I am? Well, if you're looking at it at all in any type of glancery or just happenstance, it's all capitalized. The A is capitalized, the A is capitalized, or the A and the M are all capitalized. In chapter number 2, Moses has been cast out of Egypt. You remember Moses was raised by an Egyptian mother. She's been cast out now, he's been cast out, and he's been told by God evidently. I don't know that God told him, I believe probably his mother had been given the promise. And his mother had put in Moses that he was going to be the deliverer of his people, the children of Israel. That he was going to be the one to bring them out of bondage. He was going to be the one to bring them out of captivity. He was 40 years old. And he goes out of Egypt, and Hebrews chapter number 11 says that he was much more willing to identify with his people and suffer their affliction than to be counted among the Egyptians. In plain English, it was like this. I'd rather be one of God's children, no matter what it costs me, than to be one of the world's children. And in this day of Laodicea, this age of lukewarm, half-hearted, that's going to be a discussion you're going to have with yourself. Because it is going to cost you something to serve God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind. It may not cost you money, although it might. It may not cost you relationships, although it might. It may not cost you a job, although it might. But it will cost you something to be identified with God. Don't let the devil discourage you in that. People say to me all the time, Brother Tyler, I have not suffered. I feel like maybe I'm not serving God right. Well, if you're doing the very best you can to follow Jesus and live for Him, although it may not have come yet, just hold on, honey. It's going to start bucking before the show is over. And all of a sudden, Moses says, you know what? I'd rather be with my people than in Egypt. And so he goes out, and he goes out into the desert. In chapter number 3, we find him, and he's keeping sheep for his father-in-law. He's married a woman. Her name is, she's married to this lady, and her father-in-law's name is Jethro. And listen, I'm trying to put into words what Moses is probably thinking for 40 years. It's probably summed up in the fact that he's married to a woman whose daddy's name is Jethro. I can imagine that Moses, now I'm not trying to be funny, I want you to think about something. Moses was the prince of the most powerful nation in the world. But following God has cost him his position, his influence, and you know what he's been resorted to? He's a shepherd for a man named Jethro. What do you do for a living? Oh man, I'm a powerful CEO. I take from the poor and give to the rich. I sell alcohol. I do this. You serve God. You got saved. You walked with God. What are you now? I'm not really anything. I'm just a little shepherd. I can tell y'all eating this up this morning. I'm telling you, it will cost you something to serve Jesus. And he's out in the middle of nowhere, but here's what Moses says. He says, I may not be much, but I'm going to be faithful at what I am. And one day he's out in the wilderness of Midian. And out in this wilderness of Midian, the Bible says a sheep gets off path. And among all of this flock, Moses was concerned about one little sheep. Now, there's a whole lot of spiritual application, but I'll put it in this terms for the people of God. Do not ever necessitate doing the big thing in order to neglect the small thing. Do everything you know to do and do it as unto the Lord, because big doors turn on small hinges. It's that one little thing you didn't think mattered. That one little kind word, that one little text message, that one little note, that one little dollar, that one little thing that made all the difference. And Moses follows this little sheep. I'm going somewhere, hold on. And he goes all the way to the backside of this mountain, and the mountain's name is Horeb. And back there, following the smallest thing, doing the smallest thing that nobody sees, guess what he meets? He meets God. The smallest path that you felt like did not matter very well may be the one thing that took you to God. That one decision that you made may be what makes you and puts you in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, he gets there in the presence of God and he sees this burning bush and God consuming that bush, but it does not burn up. And God speaks to him and he says, what we've all heard as children, he said, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses, you got to understand, it's been 40 years since he's heard from God. It's been 40 years since he's heard the name of God. It's been 40 years since he's heard anything about God. And all of a sudden, put yourself in his shoes. He ain't heard from God in 40 years. And now a bush is talking to him. You know what you think? I need a hookah is exactly what Moses was thinking. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't ever disregard what does not make sense to your logical thinking. People so often, they say, God, if you'll show me, God, if you'll speak to me, God, if you'll reveal it to me, God, if you'll just open the way. And yet when God shows you with your eyeballs, that can't be God. Lord, surely, beloved, I fall into this camp. I promise you, I'm trying to help you, and I'm going somewhere, and I promise you, when I get there, I'm going to bless you, because God blessed me when I was studying this. But here's what I'm often thinking about. I'm often thinking about the fact that we are far too logical about the spiritual, and we're far too spiritual about the logical. Let me put it to you like this. Have you ever met somebody just plumb sorry? Plumb sorry. Won't work, won't go to work, but they expect God to pay their bills. Some of them live in your basement. Well, we live in your mama's basement, but that's a different story. That's different right now. That don't mean the same thing. And this is what they say. They say, well, I can just trust God. I often tell people like this, don't be too logical about the spiritual. You've got to do your part and God will do his part. But then we get far too spiritual about the logical. We flip this thing all around. But all of a sudden, Moses meets this bush. And this bush says, go, tell the people, the God of their fathers is about to deliver them. Now think about it. Moses has been rejected by his people 40 years ago. Those were the same people 40 years ago that said, we don't want nothing to do with you, Jack. We don't want you. We don't want your deliverance. We don't want your ability. You can't even get Pharaoh, your own father, to hear you. You're telling me you know God? Moses looks at that bush and says, all right. You really expect me to go tell those people that a bush told me to deliver you all? Y'all act like y'all don't read the Bible. That's exactly the type of conversation. You've got to understand, they didn't have a Bible. Can you imagine a long-haired, bearded man with a walking stick that you have not seen in 40? Imagine somebody coming to your Thanksgiving. Let me just get right here. Imagine somebody coming to your Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden, you've been praying about a job, an opportunity, a relationship, a situation, and all of a sudden, that uncle you have not seen in over 10 years, he shows up at the turkey dinner at Thanksgiving, and he shows up, and his beard is down to here, and his hair is in a braid back here, and he's got a walking stick. He's been keeping sheep for 40 years, and he smells like a goat. And this is what he tells you. He says, I was talking to God in a bush the other day, and he told me to tell you he's going to do what you've been praying for. How would you feel? Moses looks at God, and he says, God, when they ask me, who sent me? I can't tell them a bush sent me. What's your name? God, if you'll tell me what your name is, there's so much power in that name. Because when I tell them that a bush, they're going to think I'm crazy. But I've been gone for 40 years. I hadn't been around for over 40 years. But when I walk back and I don't tell them Moses is back on the scene, but God, when I name drop and tell them the name of the God of my fathers, that it was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob that has sent me, God, maybe your name will give me traction. And this is what God said. He said, all right, this is my name. Tell them, I am, has sent you. The name of God is I am. Now, I know that you're thinking, Brother Tyler, that means nothing to me. And it probably shouldn't, because those two names in the English really don't have a lot of significance. But what you need to understand, in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, there are over 12 different names of God used in chapter number 3. 12 in your Bible is the number of authority. It's the number of power. It's the number of dominion. And this is what God is trying to explain to you by using 12 different names. He says, now Moses, I'm going to give you 12 different names. And here's why. Because those people that are down there in bondage, they've been under the authority of Pharaoh. They've been under the bondage of Pharaoh. They've been under the powerful hand of Pharaoh. They've been down there. Pharaoh's been in charge. Pharaoh's been in command. Pharaoh's been in authority. But I want you to tell them there's a new sheriff that's about to walk into town, and my people will be under that taskmaster no more. That my people will be under his thumb no more. I'm thinking to find myself a place to preach right here. Here's what I'm telling you right now. There is still a God in heaven who has all power, has all authority. And you may be in the bondage of Satan. You may be in the bondage of this world. But there is a new sheriff that walked into town on the backside of bloody Calvary. And he stayed. Staked his claim on your soul, staked his claim on your life, staked his claim on your soul. And he says, I am now the authority. I am now setting the rule. I am now putting the people in place. And here's what I want to encourage some child of God. The devil meets you every morning when you wake up, and he tells you, you are nothing. You'll accomplish nothing. God doesn't love you. You're not praying right. You're not believing right. You're not doing right. You tell that devil he has no more authority in your life. He has no more power in your life. Honey, I'm feeling Pentecostal in my soul right now. Here's what I'm telling you. We've gotten far too down, far too Baptist, and we don't feel like we've got any authority. We don't feel like we've got any power. All things are given to Jesus in heaven and in earth by him, through him, for him, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. The day you got saved, a new sheriff came into town. Now watch this. 12 different names, authority. Do you know what the name I am? It's number 8. In the sequence of chapter 3, the 8th name is the I am. 8 in your Bible is the number of new beginnings. It's the number of a fresh start. So when you meet this God named I am, you're going to have a new beginning.
Let me give you a couple things about that name, if you'll let me. Some of you look like you sucked a lemon a little bit this morning, so let me encourage you just a touch. Number one, what is it about that name? Number one, it's a sufficient name. When you look at that name, I Am, and you study that name, I Am, it is the literal name of God. And when you take that name down, it means something like this: to be, to exist. And I sat there and I thought, God, that don't help nobody. Lord, I know that's what it means, but Lord, we're just normal people. We're not Bible scholars. We're doing our best we can just to walk with God. So Lord, what does to be or exist? What does the name I Am mean? Are you ready for this? The name I Am is the Hebrew name Yahweh. And the Hebrew name Yahweh, it literally means to be self-existent. To need no other. Moses looks at that burning bush and he says, who am I going to say is sent me? God looks at Moses. He said, I want to tell you my name, son. My name is the self-sufficient one. I am the one that needs no other one. I am the God that needs no other God. I am the God that needs no other power. Here's what you need to understand. There is absolutely, positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt, absolutely nothing that the God of the Bible needs. He doesn't need you, and he sure enough doesn't need me. He doesn't need my mind. He doesn't need my energy. He doesn't need this world. He doesn't need the sky. He doesn't need the grass. He doesn't need the trees. He doesn't need the politicians. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need an endorsement. He doesn't need you to understand him. He doesn't need you to believe him. Why? Because long before you ever came along and long before I ever came along, he was already everything that he would ever need. He already had everything he was ever going to need. You know why? He is the I Am. I Am is a present tense word. That name means whatever you need right this second. I am exactly what that is. If you need help, he says, I am help. He says, if you need grace, I am grace. He doesn't have to go somewhere else in order to help you. If you need mercy, he says, I am mercy. If you need salvation, I am salvation. If you need deliverance, I am deliverance. If you need a chain broken, I am a chain breaker. If you need financial help, he says, I am financial help. If you need up, he is up. If you need down, he is down. You do realize there is never one thing that you have ever taken to God that he had to source out, that he ever had to subcontract. There is nothing ever, never, never, never that God has ever had to borrow. He's never had to take out a loan. He's never had to sign for anybody's help. You know why? Everything he is, he is. Everything you is, he is. Everything you need, he already is. He is the I Am. He is the I Was. He is the I'm gonna be. He is the I Up. He is the I Down. He is the I In and he is the I Out. He is the I Diagonal and he is the I Perpendicular. He's the I Parallel. He is whatever you need. He is I Am. I Am. Now, you ready? Here's what I was thinking. I got to processing this. Right now, I have different needs than you. Am I right about it? Sure enough. You have got places to go. That's good. You have got different things you've got to accomplish than I do. And can I tell you something? I'm not an expert at anything. If you need plumbing work, I ain't the guy to call. Now, if you came to me right now and said, preacher, I need some plumbing done, and I don't know who else to ask. I don't know any plumbers. Now, I know some plumbers. I know some men that can do plumbing. But here's what would be the problem with that. I would have to sub out the work. I could not do that. Even if I did know a little bit about plumbing, and I know a little bit about plumbing, but not enough to do an entire job, there may come a time, there may come a situation where I would have to outsource it. But But even if you were the greatest plumber in all of the earth and you never had to ask help from anybody, you may be able to do all the plumbing. But you know the other problem in the house? Plumbing ain't the only thing you got. You got electrical. And man, you may find the greatest electrician. You know the problem with electricians? They know how to tear up sheetrock. But they don't know how to do sheetrock. And you may find the greatest sheetrock man in all the planet. You know the problem with sheetrock men? They don't know how to clean. You know the problem with the greatest cleaners? They don't know how to fix. You and I constantly have needs and we have to go elsewhere in order to get those needs met. But there is a one-stop spiritual shop whenever you have a need. And His name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this earth down here, you may have an addiction. And you got to go over here for addiction. And then you got to go over here for support. And then you got to go over here for a fresh start. And you got to go over here for people not to hold it against you. But I have found one, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the I Am of all I am. And if you need forgiveness, He says, I am forgiveness. And if you need a fresh start, He says, I am a fresh start. And if you need support, He says, I am that support. And if you need up, He says, I am everything you need. I don't have to outsource not nary thing. He says, I am the I Am. Now, that is an unbelievable start, but it goes deeper. Because whenever Moses looks at God, he says, all right, God, I know these people are going to need deliverance, but I don't have a clue what they're going to need beyond that. Have anybody in your life that's trying to plan your tomorrow before today even gets here? We call them organizers. You got one too? Boys, y'all don't know nothing about this yet, but you're going too soon. Can I tell you the problem with organizers? They try to plan your tomorrows with today's knowledge. You see, that's why I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't try to plan tomorrow. I let tomorrow figure out tomorrow. Now, that's bitten me one or two times in my journey. Moses looks at God. He says, God, they need deliverance today, but I don't have any idea what they're going to need tomorrow. And God says this. He says, all right, I'm not just the I Am. Look back at what it says in verse number 15. He says, I am that I Am. What verse is that, 14? Look back at verse 14. Y'all didn't get near as blessed as I thought you would. I was kindly blessing myself there. Notice what he says. He says, I am. Yes, God, I know you are. But what about the things I don't know? He says, Moses, no matter what you come up against, I am that I Am. I'm 36 years old. I'll be 37 at the end of this year. I'm not an old man. I don't pretend to be an old man. I don't try to be an old man. But I do know this. What I need today is a lot different than what I needed 10 years ago. You know the problem with people? The problem that I find with humans like me and like you is we try to figure out tomorrow with what we don't even know today. Me and my wife, we're looking for a house. We sold ours, and we're riding down the road, and we're just looking at stuff. And I told her, I said, well, honey, I said, if we move there, what happens if this happens? And we'll be riding, and she'll say, all right, well, I like that scenario, but what happens if this happens? All right, I like that house, but what happens if that, we've done that, I've owned two houses now, this will be my third one. You know the problem with all that? You know all those what-if scenarios? Don't you act like y'all don't play these games. You know all those what-if scenarios you play? You know I've never met one of those what-if scenarios. I've never met them. Oh, I've met a bunch of scenarios, but I ain't never met a scenario I've been able to foresee. You know why? God blinds you to those things. You know why? Because if you knew the future, your name would be Yahweh. Beloved, here's what God is doing to some of you right now. And it's driving you crazy. I mean, your fingers are down to the bone. I'm not going to get through this message. I'm not even going to try. But some of you right now are working your fingers down to the bone, trying to figure out tomorrow, trying to figure out what you're going to do about the stuff that's going to happen tomorrow. And Jesus made this interesting statement in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. He said, take no thought for the morrow, what you will eat and what you will drink, for the morrow has enough trouble. He said, worry today. So, preacher, what do I do? He ends his sermon and he makes this statement. He says, this is what you need to do. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto. Somebody in this congregation needs to stop trying to figure out tomorrow and make the best decision you can today to honor God, and let God be the I am that you need tomorrow when tomorrow comes. People say all the time, there's no way I can do that. I can't. That's not what that verse says. I am that I am. Scott, help me out. Do a 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let me help somebody right quick. I want to help somebody. You've come all the way to this place. You've come all the way to this house. You've been invited into this place, and something brought you here. Maybe it was a live stream. Maybe it was a television. Maybe it was a friend. And maybe you're just here, and you don't have any idea. This whole thing of God is all so foreign. What do I do? Are you ready? Here's what you do. You come to the place where you realize there's nothing I can do about it. So, Lord, prove once again that you're God. I am that I am. My mother and father divorced, 18 years old I was. When I walked to that place, he says, I am that I am. I had no idea at 22 when my wife and I got married, we'd have nothing. But when I walked into that place, he says, I am that I am. I had no idea that within the next 4 years, we'd be staring at the bed of a little incubator on the second floor of the women's hospital NICU, looking at a little girl that we had no idea how to help. But when we stepped into that place, I realized right at that moment, he was the I am that I needed at that moment. I had no idea at 25, 26 years old when a group of people called me to come and pastor on the side of Church Street. I had no idea all that lay ahead, and I still have no idea what is ahead. But I realized when I stepped into that place, I am that I am. I am everything that I need. I am everything that I'm going to have. I already am that. I had no idea within the next 4 years, whenever a television station would call and we had no money, I had no idea at that moment he would be the I am that we had to have. I had no idea that people would start coming and bringing with them issues, bringing with them their heartbreaks, bringing with them their sorrows, bringing with them their situations. And I said, God, this is more than I've ever known, ever had the ability. I've never seen anybody, never had anybody in my life. But what I'm realizing every morning when I wake up and go to my little place of prayer, that the I am that I need that day is already waiting there. And yes, I know that tomorrow will bring its sorrow. I know that tomorrow will bring its pain. But I have learned that the God that was with me there, and the God that was with me there, and the God that was enough there, and the God that was sufficient there, and the God that was able there, and the God that provided there is the same God that will provide there, and will provide there, and will provide there, and will provide there. You know why? There's never been a place, never been a problem, never been a situation, good God in heaven, that He was not the I am, that He was not able. So whatever it is that you face, man, people say it all the time. They say, you've never been there. I know, because I'm not the I am. But God, Yahweh, that name that is sufficient. Why would God let you go through what you are going through? Do you know why? It's not novel. It's so that when you get to the end of it, you can look back through it and say, you really were the I am.